It's the Matt Bubala Show on Radio 720 WGN. Our guest, Eric Davis, is with us again. He's the managing editor at Movies.com, and he contributes as well at Fandango. Eric, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to have you back again. We've had you on a few times. We haven't had the big movie, except for Captain America, out this summer, but I'm guessing that maybe, especially for the kids, Angry Birds could be that movie. Is there high hopes for this?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a weekend that sort of is for everyone. I think there's, you know, Captain America comes out. It's the big blockbuster. Nobody goes near it. And then we kind of get into like the middle of May where there's a weekend and there's sort of a bunch of films that are kind of even. Angry Birds is a great family movie. It's great for anybody that's ever played the game. It's familiar with the game. It's got a lot of humor, I think, that skews young, but also for adults, too. It's got a good voice cast. It's not the best of these animated movies. It's not as good as, I would say, Zootopia. It's not as good as like a Pixar film. But I think it's okay, and it does its job. And it's the best that you can hope for from a movie that's based on, like, I mean, an app, basically.
Yeah.
The game.
Yeah, there have been movies about video games, and we've seen that spun off. Movies, of course, about comic books. But is this the first app movie?
You know, I think it might be. It might be the first, big sort of studio movie based on an app. I believe so. I mean, there have been movies about the creation of apps. And,
yeah, but nothing
nothing that's based off. At least nothing with the popularity of Angry Birds.
Yeah, there was no Farmville the movie. That I've seen as of yet. No Candy Crush the movie. Although they're probably
they are
working
making
on
an
it.
Emoji movie. They're making an emoji movie.
And that sounds like that's a good concept, I think. I could see that being funny.
Well, it's interesting. I saw a preview of some of it at CinemaCon at this convention in Vegas for theater owners. And it's sort of think of emojis in the way you would think of like a Lego movie.
Yeah, so, like, that's exactly when you said.
There's a whole universe. Yeah,
when you said emoji movie, I was thinking, I bet that's just, let's do the Lego movie with emojis. Starring the Pooh emoji, I'm sure. I bet Pooh has a prominent role.
I'm sure, yeah. It's really, it sounded, when they were explaining it, it sounded very fun. So I do, as crazy and weird as an emoji movie sounds, I'm looking forward to it.
Who's making the emoji movie, do you know?
Oh, who was it? One of the studios.
Wasn't DreamWorks or Pixar that you know off your head?
No, it's not it's not Pixar. Is it DreamWorks? Either DreamWorks or Fox. One of those.
Somebody.
One of these. I'm looking at it right now. I'm trying to see. But it's one of those major studios. But it sounded pretty good. I'm curious to see.
All right, so Angry Birds will be out for the kids this weekend. On the adult side of things, on the very adult side of things that you do not want to bring your children to, would be Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising. We have a 15-year-old son at home who'll be 15 this summer, and when Neighbors was out on cable the first time, we thought, well, you know, that's probably a little raunchy, but probably just kind of funny. And within 10 minutes, we were really regretting having our 14-year-old son in the room for that movie.
Yeah, it's a bit raunchy.
Yeah,
I mean, but that's how they like to play it. Seth Rogen,
yeah, absolutely. It was a little more Porky's than I thought it was going to be. So, Neighbors 2 definitely, not an R for your 14 or 13 year olds. Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising. I actually, was it you that told me? I heard somebody say, I think it was you that said this might be the best sequel comedy that you've ever seen.
Well, I think, well, that's what critics have been saying.
Critics are saying.
Some critics have been saying that it's up there with the better comedy sequels, which isn't saying a ton. Especially when it comes to comedies, it's hard to really land.
I was
going to
ask you, Eric, tell me, think of comedy sequels you've seen, and what would be the one you say, well, if you're talking about comedy sequels, of course, this is one of the best ones.
Well, it's hard. I mean, it's like I love Christmas Vacation, but it's a third one. It's not the second one. European Vacation is kind of weird, and lovable in its own way.
In an odd way, those aren't exactly sequels, don't you think? Because it's not like they're furthering the story ever. It's a different story and with mostly different characters.
Yes, yes, in some ways, yes.
Yeah.
The only way they would be furthering it is because they're returning, like Cousin Eddie will come back. So,
right.
So if you want, you know, but and sometimes, but yeah, little tiny things. But I mean, in terms of, you know, this isn't, I guess it's part comedy, part action. But I'm a really big fan of Beverly Hills Cop Part 2.
Okay.
I almost like that better than the original Beverly Hills Cop. Caddyshack 2, it's all right. The Jackie Mason shtick.
I was a fan of
Jackie Mason back then.
Sure.
It's no Caddyshack,
but
though.
Yeah, that's, boy, that would be a tough one to say. Here's an example of a really good comedy sequel, right? I mean, I'd go Smokey and the Bandit 2 before I went Caddyshack 2.
Yeah, Smokey and Bandit. You know, but the fact is that it's hard to find. You know, recently 22 Jump Street, I think, did a good job at sort of poking fun at the fact being a comedy sequel and sort of the tropes of the comedy sequel. I think Neighbors 2 is very progressive in terms of, you know, on paper, it looks like this really cash grab kind of sequel. It's the first one, a fraternity moves next door. The second one, a sorority moves
right.
next door. You know, but they subvert, I think, expectations. You know, Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, these guys, these are smart comedic writers. They know comedy. I mean, they love the raunchy comedy, but they're really funny guys, and they're not going to make sort of a cash grab sequel there, you know, especially ones that they're writing or they're heavily involved in. And I think Neighbors is very progressive. It handles a lot of issues in a very funny way. I think it expands upon the first one. It's good. I think it's pretty good. For my money, I like The Nice Guys. That's my favorite movie of the weekend. But Neighbors 2 is good, too. If you like the first Neighbors, you go see Neighbors 2. It's a good sequel.
Let's get to The Nice Guys in a minute. I want to stick with this for a second because now I'm thinking about comedy sequels. One that I would say was actually good, I don't know if it's better than the original, I don't know how good the original really is, but at least I laughed at, would be Ted 2.
Ted 2, yes. Ted 2 was okay. I remember, I mean, I laughed so hard at the original Ted.
Yeah.
And Ted 2 was hard because, you know, Ted, you know, for the entirety of Ted, you're sort of just in love with this concept of
right,
this foul-mouthed,
right,
filthy
right,
teddy bear.
Right.
And so Ted 2, you've already fallen in love with that concept. And so now it's like, okay, well, what else can you do with this concept? I feel like Ted 2 had a great first half and then just kind of fell off and you weren't really interested anymore in this character. But yeah.
And where are you at with the – well, I think one of the – and I never actually saw it, which is surprising me because I love the first one so much, but I've never bothered to see the sequel, which would be Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, right? Is that the name of the sequel? Or is that
no,
the official title of the first
Anchorman,
movie?
Anchorman, The Legend. Yeah, that's the first movie. The Legend Continues,
Anchorman. So the second
Something
Anchorman,
along those way.
Really disappointed at the box office and with critics alike. Right? I mean, is that universally pretty much thought of as a really bad sequel?
Not as bad as Zoolander 2. Zoolander 2 was a complete, it was just god-awful. I remember seeing that earlier this year. I was like, what is this? But Anchorman 2 was okay. It wasn't great, but it wasn't that bad. You know, I think that character is pretty amusing, and it did have some good gags in it. But that, again, there are some pretty talented people sort of trying to helm that. I believe in Will Ferrell and Adam McKay.
And that's the tough thing about, and that shows, I think, how tough it is because sequel to Anchorman on paper, you're like, oh, what a brilliant idea. Great actors, great characters they created, so funny. Even if they're ad-libbing a bunch of it, they're going to make that funny. And, you know, it didn't turn out like they'd like. Where do you stand, Eric, on the Hangover sequels?
I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan of The Hangover 2. I'm not a fan of The Hangover 3.
Mm-hmm.
Just not a fan, which is a shame because I really like the first Hangover.
Yeah.
But it's again, you know, it's hard. It's hard to recreate that. That's why I feel like a lot of the best sort of comedy sequels are action comedy sequels. You know, Beverly Hills Cop 2 is very good. There are other action comedy sequels. I just had one in my brain and then it fell out. But I think that's when we've seen them. Oh, Lethal Weapon 2 is very good. You know, Lethal Weapon 2, I think, is on par with Lethal Weapon 1.
I don't remember
that. So I think action comedy.
Yeah, and I don't remember it that well, but I think maybe even Another 48 Hours was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yes.
As long as you're talking Eddie Murphy sequels.
It was very good.
Yeah.
I've actually watched Another 48 Hours more than 48 Hours. So, yeah. I mean, so yeah, there you know, there have been Ghostbusters 2, no. No, right. not even close. But you know, but those that we just mentioned, I think Die Hard 2 as well. You know, Die Hard 2 is not as classic as Die Hard 1, but it's not bad.
Yeah, it's
kind
a good
of fun.
Movie. It's kind of a dorky. Good movie. We're speaking with Eric Davis. He's a managing editor at Movies.com. He contributes at Fandango as well. You can follow Eric on social media at Eric Davis. He does the Eric the Viking way with a K. And when we come back, let's find out a little bit more about Nice Guys. Matt Bubala with you on Radio 720 WGN. We're speaking with Eric Davis. He's our guest movie man here on the Matt Bubala Show, the managing editor at Movies.com, contributing editor at Fandango. Eric, the last movie we really need to talk about this week, I think, is The Nice Guys. The Nice Guys, of course, Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling. Funny Nice Guys is in the title because that does not often go along with Russell Crowe.
It does not, no. And he's really funny in this film. This is the film of the weekend, in my opinion. I think it's not going to do as well as Neighbors 2 or The Angry Birds or Captain America Civil War or Jungle Book. It could wind up in like fifth place or fourth place or something like that. But it's very, very good. It was written and directed by a guy named Shane Black. We were just speaking about great, you know, kind of sequels. Lethal Weapon 2, he wrote the original Lethal Weapon. He contributed to Lethal Weapon 2.
Oh, wow.
He also did the last Action Hero. He wrote the last Boy Scout, I believe. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Iron Man 3. So The Nice Guys. So this is his new one. Feels like a throwback to a kind of a Lethal Weapon. Great action comedy. Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling sort of are these just detectives that are, you know, really tough but kind of fumble and are crazy and all over the place. And they come together to sort of, you know, kind of figure out this mystery. And it's got a great – and that's what's great about it is that it's got this really great mystery to it. A great detective story is at the heart of this film, but then there's just all this really ridiculous humor that surrounds it. It's set in the 70s, and I just really love this film. And if you're a fan of Shane Black's movies, Lethal Weapon, Last Boy Scout, Last Action Hero, Iron Man 3, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, you'll find a lot of pleasure in this film, a lot of his quirks. Very smart writer. Good movie.
Now, you said Russell Crowe is very funny in this movie. Is it comedic in nature or more action with comedy, sort of like the Eddie Murphy movies we were just talking about?
Exactly. You know, and I think Nick Nolte sort of in 48 Hours.
Okay.
I look at Russell Crowe and maybe not as hard, but no, as hard. I think, I mean, he softens a little bit throughout the movie, but I would look at Nick Nolte in 48 Hours as kind of where Russell Crowe is in this film.
Okay.
And Ryan Gosling is opposite him and very funny. So what I do like about it is that they have these two guys in this movie who are very, very funny, and you've never seen them be this kind of funny before. You know, these are guys that you're used to seeing play different other kinds of roles. So really enjoyable.
I think Ryan Gosling's probably done some comedic stuff in the past. I can't think of, maybe you can tell me, Russell Crowe's comedic turn. I'm wondering if this is his De Niro time of life now where he thought, well, I'm going to try some comedy for a while.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't do a lot. He has very little. Very little. I mean, I can't even think off the top of my head of a big comedy that he's done, Russell Crowe. So very, very little stuff. But so that's what's nice about it. It's different.
Different.
And it's just very well written.
Excellent. You said there's a documentary coming out or that's out now called Wiener about Anthony Wiener from New York. Have you seen this?
I have seen it. It's very, very good. This is going to be one of the best documentaries of the year. I wouldn't be surprised if come award season we're talking about it. This is about Anthony Wiener. If you know, I'm from New York, so this was a big story in New York. He was running for mayor. He was a congressman. and he got roped into a sexting scandal. And what's interesting about this documentary is it starts tracking him when he's running for mayor, but then the political the sexting scandal breaks out. But they let him continue they let the crews continue to follow him. So I think this is the very first time we've ever seen like a big political scandal from inside the campaign. And that's what's so fascinating about the film. I think that's why it's blowing a lot of people away. It's just the access that they got to this man and his wife and to his inner circle while his political career was just completely blowing up in his face. It's just really captivating to watch unfold. So I highly recommend it if it comes by you or if you see it on VOD. You know, some of these movies open limited and they're on VOD. So if you see it cross your eyes and you have a couple of hours and you're interested in political documentary, that kind of stuff, highly recommend it.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting. And I wanted to bring up, so we've been talking a lot about Ferris Bueller's Day Off on the show here this morning because it's the 30th anniversary and Ferris Fest is in town. As a critic, how does Ferris Bueller's Day Off hold up in your mind 30 years later?
I think it holds up great. You know, this is a movie that, is a movie of my youth and sort of one of those classic films. And I think that it just speaks to how great John Hughes was for that time. I think no one spoke to a generation and about a generation like John Hughes did in his movies. And Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those films where you want to become him. You want to be that guy. I think every teenager back then wanted to be Ferris Bueller and taking a day off and kind of taking your friends and your best girl and going on an adventure. I think it still speaks to kids these days and anybody that wants to sort of take a day off from their life and go have an adventure. So, a lot of classic scenes that never get old, just one of those movies that you can watch on repeat and quote all the time. And we don't get many of those these days. And so it's nice to celebrate. And, it's just funny because I was just thinking the other day about how we don't celebrate movies anymore. And I think that's one of the problems why we don't have a Ferris Bueller to kind of our time, because I think back then we really celebrated these movies and we still celebrate. I mean, the movies that we celebrate these days are movies that came out 20 years ago.
Yeah.
We don't celebrate our own movies that come out these days. And I think that's part of the problem of us just not, there's so much stuff flying at us that we don't take the time to kind of really appreciate these films. And so it's good to kind of celebrate Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's a film worth celebrating.
Yeah, I certainly think it is. It's still fun to watch. I've shown it to my kids in the last couple of years and still get a kick out of seeing Ferris have his fun every time we see it. Eric Davis is managing editor at movies.com and he contributes at fandango.com as well. Follow him online at Eric Davis. Thanks so much for jumping on the phone again, sir.
You got it, man. Take care.